listen, listen, listen. God is speaking to us.
Kairos Milwaukee United Church of Christ presents Even Now, the reflection by the Reverend Gene Randall Bodman, presented on Sunday, March 24th, 2024.
Beloved God, open our hearts to your mystery, our minds to your way for us, and our spirits to the blessing of your presence. Amen. There is a guy that I follow on Instagram, a Jesuit brother called Brother Matt. I don't remember exactly how I happened upon his Instagram account, but I really enjoy his humor and his unguarded, zestful, straightforward faith. A few years ago now, he posted a video of himself, which I have never forgotten among all the videos I scroll through. And it's a video where he was arriving at the home of a cousin, a beloved cousin, for a visit. But the first person who greeted him at the door was the golden retriever. The dog jumped up to lick Matt's face, knocked his glasses askew, got a paw stuck in the strap of his overnight bag, and pulled them both over into a laughing heap on the floor. It was joyous and exuberant. And the voiceover said, "You know how I feel about dogs. Medium." This is a man who tries to love everything about being alive. He sees it as his calling to live life zestfully. He does charity events that involve long-distance swimming in open bodies of water, and he trains for those all year round in Lake Michigan, taking an axe to break the ice on days when he needs to. He's truly a person that embraces life. But about dogs? Medium. That captures about how I feel about parades. Just medium. Even parades whose meaning and energy I love, like the Portland Pride Parade, I feel medium about it. There is something in the energy of a crowd that makes it hard for me to enter into it completely. I've always got my eye on the edge of things to see if the energy is going to shift, if people with bad intent are going to show up to disrupt the joy that is happening. This may have started in my childhood. I was the kind of kid who took a book when we went to the 4th of July and Memorial Day parades. I really liked the antique cars and I liked the bands, especially the ones with bagpipes, but a little of that went a very long way for me. It may also have something to do with foundational memories of Palm Sunday in the church I grew up in. When I was a child, our Presbyterian congregation assembled on the first floor fellowship hall. We were all dressed in our Sunday best. Kids wore hats back then. Some of us had the additional cumbersome layer of a choir robe. The ushers handed each of us a palm, and we joined a long line. And on cue from the choir master, we headed out to tromp around our church building and then back in the same door we had left by, waving our palms and trying to sing on key. We were a largish group, so by the time the folks at the end got around the last corner, we were at least three stanzas or three measures behind the choir, who were by then sliding into their places up in the choir loft. It was a long line. I found the whole thing really embarrassing and odd. You only have to live through one Holy Week to know that that brief burst of excitement will soon be overturned by the tenderness, grief, and anguish of Holy Week, itself so soon to be eclipsed by the joy and mystery of Easter. Every year, I have to ask again, well, with all of that, what exactly is Palm Sunday for? It's a story that's included in all four of the Gospels, one of the few, really. So it clearly meant something essential to the church as it developed in the early centuries when they were collecting stories to make them into their authoritative texts. In the last 20 years or so, scholars, starting with Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan, have pointed out that Jesus' triumphal entry was not the only grand entry into Jerusalem being made at about that time. Because every year for Passover, pilgrims would flock to Jerusalem to worship and to remember. anywhere from 50,000 to 200,000 pilgrims gathered to celebrate the way that God had liberated the people from the oppressive Egyptian Empire so long ago. Because the Romans knew that the celebration marked a story of liberation, the governor of Judea would come to Jerusalem to keep the peace, to make sure the citizens didn't get any big ideas about liberating themselves from another empire anytime soon. The Jewish people could commemorate their ancient victory against Egypt and slavery if they wanted to, but if they tried any real-time resistance, they would be obliterated. And Pilate came in all his glory to show it. Moving up from his citadel on the coast, Pilate processed into Jerusalem through the large western gate, riding on a war horse and surrounded with cavalry, with soldiers and banners and troops marching behind him. The streets were cleared, and large crowds gathered to watch the display. None of the pilgrims who had gathered to worship in Jerusalem could miss the point being made. Their celebration of the Passover was only happening at the tolerant pleasure of the Roman government. So keep it in line. On the other side of town, another more ragtag procession began when Jesus rode a colt down the Mount of Olives on the east side of the city, surrounded by his band of followers. They spread their cloaks and greeted him with shouts and the treasonous chant, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." It's quite a contrast. Pilate on his war horse through the monumental gate, decked out in armor, with banners waving and troops behind him. And Jesus on a donkey, coming in through the back door, wearing no armor, surrounded by unarmed, unorganized followers with no plan. One was a military display of imperial might. The other was a protest and rebuke of empire, staged by Jesus and his small group of enthusiastic, hopeful rebels, crying out, "Behold, the long-awaited one, the day of the Lord, the great Jubilee has begun." Their eyes and hearts filled with the vision of a new world. So Palm Sunday is a day of contrasts. We're offered the vision of the kingdom of God, proclaimed in stark relief to the kingdom of Caesar. We recognize on this day that this contrast is central to the story of Jesus's life and to our understanding of the gospel. This is part of what Palm Sunday is, a pause to see the choices and the way before us clearly, to participate in joy that we know is only part of the story, because even after Easter, we live in a world where the kingdom of God is here, but so are the powers of empire. This joy and vision of Palm Sunday can sometimes feel a little bit hollow. The sense of embarrassment that the shyer ones of us feel, the wariness that the more suspicious of us feel, and it's justified because we know the rest of the story. We know that before the end of the week, the power of empire and the power of collusion with empire will have done their worst and condemned Jesus to death. And we know that some of the very people who that day were crying out, "Save us, Hosanna to the Son of David," by week's end will be crying out, "Crucify him." We know that others will simply have evaporated into the crowd and slid quietly around a corner and made off for home and safety when things started to go wrong, when arrest and crucifixion are looming and the air is electric with danger. I wonder if it is this about face from joyful Hosanna to cries for vengeance that have given me my lifelong suspicion of the energy of crowds, which can so easily flip. And also my lifelong embarrassment at the idea of getting caught out being too loud or too exuberant. You know, I love to dance to our music and our hymns and the postlude, but only when I'm standing in the back, where I think no one can see me. The momentary vision and joy of the crowd, their temporary loyalty, can make the day feel more poignant than joyful. And I wonder if this year, especially, the invitation is to allow the poignancy to speak to us, calling us to keep our eyes open for glimpses of God's realm, even now in the midst of trouble. Even now, when white nationalists are threatening to remake our government and weave their understanding of Christianity into our courts and laws to enshrine their beliefs about individualism and hierarchy with white men at the top holding all positions of power. Even now, in the midst of that, we are called to hold on to a vision of beloved community, a community of mutuality and equality. We are called to keep our eyes open for glimpses of its reality, even if they are fleeting. We are called to get over our shyness and speak out, to speak in gratitude for God's realm wherever we see it in the face of empire, and to speak to call it forth where it is still absent. Even now, when the war in Gaza has gone from a military response to Hamas's atrocious attack, to an insanely disproportionate, unrelenting war on the people of Gaza, to a humanitarian crisis of 30,000 civilian deaths, mass dislocation, and looming famine. Even now, we are called to cry out against injustice and to speak the vision of peace we see for all the people of that land. In Luke's version of the Palm Sunday story, as the crowds cheered, some of the Pharisees in the multitude said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Why then should we be silent? Last month, the Reverend Diane Doolin, who's a retired UCC minister and was for a time a member of this church and is still a friend of this congregation, participated in a delegation to the West Bank, to East Jerusalem, and to Washington, D.C. Their delegation was called the Stones Cry Out Solidarity Delegation. In her report afterward, she wrote that our delegation met with religious and civil society leaders, Christians and Muslims and Jews, community leaders and everyday residents. We visited a refugee camp, a privately owned farm, churches, nonprofit and advocacy NGOs, and public spaces. We passed through military checkpoints and traveled both Israeli-only highways and Palestinian roads of dirt and stones. The message given to us by those we met is this: the genocide in Gaza is unspeakably horrific, and the violence and strangulation of daily life in the West Bank is crippling. Tell this to your elected officials and public servants in Washington. Tell it to your church leaders. Tell it to your congregations and communities back home. From those we met, we heard words of fearfulness, anger, grief, and discouragement. Palestinians living in the West Bank feel invisible, abandoned, and dehumanized. Over and over again, the people we encountered thanked us for coming. They told their stories, trusting us to return home to speak the truth. That's the end of my quote from Diane. We do not have to agree on our understanding of the whole history of Israel and Palestine to see that what is happening now, the deaths of so many civilians, the destruction of neighborhoods and mosques and churches and hospitals, and the acceptance of starvation as a tool of war, is immoral. You only have to be human to cry out for ceasefire and a return of all the hostages held by Hamas, all the prisoners long held by Israel, to cry out for a vision of justice in that land for all the people of that land. The crowd surrounding Jesus as he entered Jerusalem may only have seen partially, and their loyalty may have been temporary. They may only have glimpsed the good news of God's realm present in Jesus. They may have only glimpsed it, but in the moment, they saw it and they cried out. The power of empire may have had its way on Good Friday, just as the power of injustice and human violence has its way still in so many places in the world. But the promise of Easter is that love is stronger than death, that the realm of God is present even now alongside the powers of death and destruction, and that we belong to the light. And we are called to take heart, to keep our eyes on the vision of love embodied in Jesus' life, teaching, death, and resurrection, to cry out against all the works of death and injustice, and to cry out in gratitude and solitude, in solidarity for all that is good. So wherever we find them, let our hosannas ring for justice, for peace, and for the vision of love that Christ came to lead us into. Save us. Hosanna to the Son of David. Amen.
Listen, listen, God is speaking.